Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, the new year is underway, and you can tell because we have special guests returning for, what's going to be 7 or 8, maybe 9 years now. The Mystic River Chorale is the feature attraction tonight on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Maino, pleased to be sitting with Michelle Mentzer, who is the president of the Mystic River Chorale, and the second Frank. We have a series of Franks that have directed the Mystic River Chorale. Frank Montagnetti for many years, and now Frank Zolini. I've got a mental block. How should we say your name correctly?
So the last name is Zolini. It helps if you sort of sneeze it out. Zolini.
Okay. Well, we'll do that. Frank. Welcome to you, Michelle. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
It's going to be all about a concert that's happening next week. And Michelle, why don't you tell us where that's going to be right off the top?
Sure, absolutely. It's going to be held at Harkness Chapel on the campus of Connecticut College in New London.
And a time?
It is going to be January 15th at 4 p.m.
4 o'clock at Harkness. Okay. And you've been there for many other concerts over the years.
Indeed, many.
And how many of those concerts have you been involved with?
I am coming up on my 28th year with the chorale, so.
Frank, I didn't know they had like an infant chorale where people started where they were 1 or 2 years old.
Yeah, well, they're, you know, aging through the program.
There you go. Well, that's amazing. How many years?
28.
28 years with the chorale.
Mm-hmm.
And here you are getting the high-priced president's job.
You know, they only give it to the best of the best.
There you go. Well,
or those who can't run very fast.
Yeah, or don't know how to say no. Frank, the concert is going to be this year a particular theme, or is it a kind of a conglomeration of things you'd like to do?
It's always that second one. But this year we are focusing on some Baroque music. This is our first orchestra concert back since COVID, and we wanted to pull out really just one of the gems of the repertoire. So we're going to do the Vivaldi Gloria, and alongside that, a contemporary of both Vivaldi and Bach, we're going to do Jan Dismas Zelenka's setting of the Miserere.
So I'm glad you said all that.
Yeah, it comes with the Eastern Europeanness. I can almost not butcher it.
There you go. All right. Well, great. Let's find out a little bit about what's been happening with the chorale. Michelle, back to you. Have you normally been rehearsing weekly? Is that what happens with the chorale?
Correct. We rehearse every Monday evening in downtown Mystic, which is a lovely place to rehearse. Our numbers since COVID have dropped a little bit, but we're starting to build them back up again, and we certainly have big heart and good voices, so it's going to be a wonderful concert.
All right. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. January 15th at 4 o'clock at Harkness. Frank, let's get to a little bit of the music and tell us what we're going to be listening to today and why.
All right. So a lot of today's program is going to come from our January concert. It really came off splendidly.
Last year.
And they really did a spectacular job, both the chorale as a whole, and then we have a subgroup called Chamber Singers, and they all just really rose up to the occasion. And amid all the onerous kind of mask requirements and rehearsal location and timing kind of precautions that we were taking, they did an amazing job. So we'll start with some music from that.
All right. This first piece is Rise Up.
Rise Up, My Love, one of the great early, mid-20th century part songs by Healy Whelan.
Beautiful singing by the Mystic River Chorale. And we're now going to go to try to keep the music flowing here because Frank has brought a lot with him. What's this next piece going to be?
This next one is Alice Parker's arrangement of Hark, I Hear the Harps Eternal.
Hark, I Hear the Harps Eternal ringing on the farther shore. As I hear the
Michelle, if there's people listening that would like to buy tickets to this event, they can do that by going online or making a phone call or both.
Certainly by going online. So they can go to our website, which is mysticriverchorale.org, under the events page.
Events page on mysticriverchorale.org. That's pretty easy to remember. Or if you want to call Frank's cell phone, it's 401. No, okay.
They can also purchase tickets at the door. They will be available.
Okay. Tickets will be available at the door at Harkness Chapel. Well, that's good to know. And ticket prices are under $100?
Absolutely. We try and make it available for anybody who would like to come. So $25 general admission, $20 senior and military, wow, and $15 for students.
Wow, that's great. Okay, so take advantage of a great afternoon and catch this great concert. Frank, let's go back to you for one more piece of music in this first set that we have.
All right, last bit here is the sacred motet, Sicut Cervus by Palestrina.
All right, well, listen to that, then take a short break, and we'll be back with more of the Mystic River Chorale. Mystic River Chorale is the subject of tonight's Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and very pleased to be sitting with Frank and Michelle and finding out all about what's happening with the chorale and their special event coming up just a week away on the 15th at Harkness Chapel in New London, correct?
Correct.
Okay, I hesitated there because I'm saying Mystic River Chorale, but the event is in New London, and we spoke briefly, Michelle, in that first segment about the fact that the chorale has come out of the pandemic, started doing things, like all arts groups, lost a lot of momentum, perhaps, some membership. People were reluctant to get back out, and particularly singing again. A lot of groups had that problem. But you're rebuilding, and you're always welcoming new people, right?
Absolutely. And actually, we'll be welcoming people to join us for our spring semester. And the easiest way to do that is to make an appointment with the chorus manager on our website, mysticriverchorale.org.
So they just make an appointment to come in. Is it during their rehearsal time, that in the evening?
Correct. It would be one of our first rehearsal evenings that we have.
and they come in and they whistle or they sing? Or Frank, do you do any listening to that?
So there's sort of, we're trying to avoid the A word audition. There's just sort of a benign hearing of your voice, and what we just want to get a sense of is where your voice sits happiest in terms of its range, and where you can have the best time singing in our group.
Yeah, I know in my chorus of male singers, back when we had well over 100 people and we were very fortunate to be ranked one of the top groups in the world and travel around the world, we avoided that A word also. And all we did was that we asked guys to come in and sing Happy Birthday. Was our audition, so that we could, and it was exactly what you're talking about, just so we'd have a feeling of, if they started going, Happy Birthday to, you know, then you knew the, what part they might sing versus Happy Birthday to you. So so that was the purpose of it.
So you're not going to charge me if I steal your idea?
No, I think it's been used by quite a few people. But Do you have a song that they do? Is it something they know, or is it just playing notes on the piano?
Typically, I'll vocalize them, so that is just kind of singing some little vocal exercises and seeing where your range goes and where your voice sits happiest.
Right. And the other question a lot of people have when they think about joining a group like yours, or like the one I mentioned, mine, well, I'm not really a musician. I can't read music that well, or I don't read music at all, so I guess I can't join. That's not the truth?
That does not apply here.
Good. So they don't need to necessarily read music.
No, we are all about building people as singers and as musicians, and taking them from wherever it is that they're at, and bringing them to whatever the next level happens to be. So if we're teaching a little bit of music theory, if we're teaching a little bit of sight singing or music literacy, we are so more than happy to do that.
And does the chorale get reevaluated, if you will, each season? Or you're in. You've been in for 28 years, and now you're in, right?
Yeah, I'd like to see us try and re-audition some of the original membership. That would go over swell. Once you're in, you're in.
Okay. And Michelle, what part do you sing in the chorale?
I typically am soprano, but I have made the switch to alto, and am finding the middle harmonies really interesting and really fun to sing.
Wow.
And it's made me a better musician, I think. I mean, it's improved my ear, for sure.
I was going to say, it might make you think a little bit more, right?
Indeed. I'm actually singing alto, too.
Because most sopranos don't think.
That is an unfair and biased and potentially even accurate assessment.
And dangerous, I might
say. And dangerous, yeah. All right. All right, let's get back to the program that's going to be held on the 15th at Harkness. And Frank, the music that we listened to in the first set was all recordings of the chorale.
That's right.
So we weren't listening to the St. Andrew's Choir or something, or the Mormon Tabernacle. It was actually the Mystic River Chorale.
This was all us. I'm really proud of this group and where we've come together, and I am really excited to show them to the community.
And that's going to be true for the rest of the music we'll hear today?
For this next set of pieces, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, what do you have for us next?
All right. Next up is Anton Bruckner's, this is just a monument to the choral repertoire, Locus Iste.
Oh.
Frank, one of the things about chorale music is you have the opportunity occasionally to stray from something heavy to something lighter, to perhaps heavy religious to gospel type of things. And that's true in some of the music you're playing today, right?
Yeah, some of it. Our next piece is an amazing setting of the spiritual Steal Away. It features three of our own sopranos and altos singing this beautiful solo line. And it also very heavily features our accompanist's left thumb on this ostinato D that just will not quit throughout the entire piece. So thank you to those three singers, and thank you very much to our accompanist's thumb.
And this piece of music itself is not ancient, right?
No, it's very new. It's an arrangement within the last 10 years or so by the director of Seraphic Fire, a fantastic ensemble, Patrick Dupre Quigley.
Thank you.
Frank, I know that choirs and choruses are generally a unique mix of the community, and people come from all walks of life where they, you don't know, as my dad used to say, you didn't know if they were a doctor, a lawyer, or an Indian chief. All different kind of people make up a chorus. And sometimes it's in a little bit intimidating for someone to walk into that environment. But I know your group, which I've seen years ago, is very friendly. And what do you think is part of that? How does that all come about?
Right, yeah. So, every group can be a little intimidating to approach initially. But choirs are really one of our last remaining communal spaces where we can all come together from this, that, and the other walk of life. It's sort of interesting, looking back historically, anthropologists now sort of think that one of the things that brought people together was these communal festivals of kind of, you know, harvesting and then singing around these like Neolithic structures that were meant to amplify the voice.
Like Stonehenge.
Right, exactly. And also what they were doing there was probably a good deal of drinking. That's another theory that...
Well,
you know,
Oktoberfest, right? Everybody singing and so forth and having a good time.
Right. You know, the idea that it wasn't to grow food, it was to grow grain that you could then turn into some sort of alcoholic sludge. That
right.
People were, you know, that was the agrarian revolution right there. But I read an interesting article the other week that was sort of asking the question, like, why is it that... Even though we understand like any amount of alcohol is bad for you, it's always carcinogenic, it's always cardiotoxic. But statistically, health-wise, it seems like people who do sort of light social imbibing tend to do pretty well and better health-wise. And the author of this article was sort of positing that that small amount of partaking helps to sort of let the guard down in a social setting, and noticed that those people tended to have more of these moments of genuine connection, this, you know, eye contact, broad smiles, belly laughs. And I'm reading this article and I'm just thinking, that's what we do at choir. You know, you have to walk in, you have to take a certain step towards vulnerability to sing in front of anyone. You know, it's scary. You know, are they going to judge you? But once you do that, you have this group of people that you are instantly connecting with. And again, it is across all walks of life. So it's a really cool thing. And I encourage anyone who hasn't had that experience to come and try us out.
You know, the whole area between Mystic and New London and Hull, southeastern Connecticut, even into Westerly and so forth, Rhode Island, there's a lot of people. And there's a lot of people that could enjoy singing if they'd only get out and give it a shot. So I would encourage anyone that's listening that hasn't tried it, or perhaps maybe sang in school and hasn't done anything since then, to get out and give it another shot. And, you know, Michelle and Frank will be only too anxious to greet you as you walk in the door. All right, we have time for another piece of music in this set. What will this one be?
All right, this is William L. Dawson's setting of Ain't That Good News.
Ain't That Good News.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Doesn't sound like something that Bach wrote. We'll listen to that, take a short break, and be back with more.
Thank you.
the Mystic River Chorale, subject of tonight's Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Michelle and Frank, and during the break found out that the actual title of the concert, if you will, what's going to be on the program, will be Among Friends, and that's a great title for a concert, particularly with a group of singers like this. And Among Friends is an interesting way of looking at that, because the whole thing that we were talking about, Frank, where it takes people, you know, getting out and becoming part of a group and so forth, even with all those people participating, in order to keep a group like this going, it takes more funding than those ticket prices that you mentioned that are very reasonable. So I guess, Michelle, is there an opportunity if people are listening and saying, I would like to help keep this going? Can they do that by making a donation somewhere?
You bet. We've made it very easy, actually, to do that. You can go to our website at mysticriverchorale.org, and there's a donate button that you can find amongst most of the pages on there.
Okay, so just click right on the donate button, and people can help you out.
Absolutely.
And that would be a great thing to do. Frank, we listened to some interesting music in that first half, and our first two segments, and we got one more segment to go here. Tell us about this next piece, which is a little bit lengthy. Tell us about why.
Okay, so the next two pieces kind of look ahead to our concert. This first one is the Lauda Jerusalem by Vivaldi. It's a big piece. It's almost multi-movement, except it's not. It has a large opening chorus. It has some solo material in the middle. Interestingly, when you look at the score for the solos, it names two specific girls for each of the only two lines. So he didn't have a soloist. He had two of his students at the Ospedale where he worked. It was an orphanage. He had these two girls, two apart, singing these solo lines, and they're very complex. So when you hear them sung, bear in mind that that's probably not how it originally sounded.
Right. Now, a piece of music like this, it's 6.5 minutes long. Has that become interesting for you to present to the choir and say, we're going to do this 38-page piece of music?
Well, that's pretty much par for the course for these guys. You know, they're used to larger repertoire, you know, every January for at least as long as I've been there. We presented a major work. And, you know, it does take a little bit of attention to kind of follow the through lines, but I think it's, you know, it's ultimately very, very enjoyable.
All right. So we're going to listen to this piece now. Any further introduction needed?
I don't think so.
All right. Here we go. Thank you. Amazing Music, which will be presented by the Mystic River Chorale. That's who's going to be doing the concert on January 15th, just 1 week away at Harkness Chapel, 4 o'clock. And tickets are available at their website, which is a very difficult website to remember. It's mysticriverchorale.org.
Indeed.
It's as simple as that.
Exactly.
Well, that's great that you have that availability. And there'll be other concerts coming up. I know normally in the years past we've had you in this time of year to promote the January concert, but then there's going to be one in the spring in May, right?
Absolutely. We're going to hold our spring concert on Sunday, May 7th, again at 4 p.m., and that will be at Mystic Congregational Church in Mystic, Connecticut.
All right. So this one's at Harkness, the next one's at the Congregational Church, not to confuse anybody, but all that information is on the website, so check that out. And Frank, there'll be... I know the music isn't set yet for that concert, but is it usually lighter in the spring?
Typically, yeah. You know, we're getting towards the end of the academic year, heading towards the summer, and we like to just kind of let our hair down a little bit, do some repertoire that's just really enjoyable to sing and listen to. So it's usually shorter pieces, no orchestra, just usually either a cappella or with our fabulous accompanist, David Gilliland.
You know, singing a cappella is the most difficult kind of singing in the world. I mean, you got to be really talented to sing a cappella.
Well, it's a thing. And we actually, this last year, we've shifted our chamber ensemble from sort of learning via the piano towards a strictly vocal model, because when you're taking your notes off the piano for choral singing, you're always going to be a little out of tune, because even a perfectly tuned piano has to be out of tune. And if you want to look up the Pythagorean comma, you can go ahead and do that on Wikipedia. But all of the intervals on a equally tempered piano are all just a little bit off. So when you get that really amazing choral sound, like you sing Barbershop, you mm-hmm. know, that's all just tuning, so that you've got really pure intervals in there. And that's how it sounds like that one organism, as opposed to a bunch of people kind of singing together. And they've been doing a really great job with that.
What's always interesting to me, doing this my whole life, as I tour around the country and do shows, people in the audience will frequently, you know, and as they enjoy it and they want to make a compliment, they'll come up to me in the lobby after the show and they'll say, and no music. You didn't have any music in your program. I'm going, and I think you mean instruments.
Yeah, right. What is that? Singers and musicians.
Right. Okay, well, I just want to make sure that either both of you or one of you will come back in the spring and we'll talk about the spring concert and have music prepared for that, maybe towards the end of April or something like that.
We would love that.
That's a date.
Excellent. All right. Well, we have time for one more piece of music, and tell us what this is going to be, Frank.
Okay, so this is the first movement of the Miserere that we're going to be performing in a week by Zelenka. And this, just kind of looking through the repertoire, this opening grabbed us all and said, oh, we have to do this piece. It is extremely cool. It's got this great motoric kind of motive in the orchestra, and it's a very, very neat piece. I'm really excited for you to hear it, and I'm even more excited for you to come out and hear the rest of the piece.
Excellent. Well, thank you both for coming in, and the rest of you, we'll see you next time on Conducting Conversations.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.